This episode of Heroes of the Horn is brought to you by Taryn, Jacob Fisher, Michael Avila. We are on our way to Tar Valon to become Aes Sedai like Egwene and Nynaeve.
Welcome to Heroes of the Horn and Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. Welcome to our Wheel of Time book club. The horn has sounded and we have answered the call. Today we are covering The Lord of Chaos, Part 4, Chapters 10 through 12.
As, let me just say, something crazy happens.
Yeah.
You've been trying to tell me. You said, man, just wait. Just wait.
It's crazy.
Chapter 10, our opening chapter today.
Yep.
Woo!
Crazy, dude. Why is the big question. Why would you even consider it? We're going to get to
it. It seems like a terrible idea. So nonetheless, how you doing, man?
Oh, dude, doing good. You know, sorry if you guys can hear a little bit of a fan over here or something. I mean, it feels like the Dark One is controlling the temperature in my apartment. Like, I don't know what's going on. It is supposed to be like in the 90s over here this week, and it's just blazing hot. So I've got like my seltzer water and I got a little fan action going. So I apologize, but we were just doing a Star Wars podcast and I about sweated through my t-shirt. I was like, I had to turn the lights off and everything is crazy, but no, doing good. Actually, I just did a spoiler edition for you guys, by the way, if you want to check those out. Matt and I always do extended editions, but we did a spoiler edition on kind of the end of the book. Really, I talked about that. I also talked about Loghain, went a step further with Loghain in terms of storytelling and stuff. And it's just kind of fun because, you know, I told Matt today, like sometimes I kind of hold back on what I want to say, even if it's just a few chapters ahead, right? Even if it's just, you know, chapter 15, 16 or 17, right? I try to make sure, okay, Matt hasn't read that yet, so I don't want to say anything yet. But it's very easy in the spoiler edition just to whatever I was holding back, go in there and say real quickly just while the mics are hot. So it's been kind of fun. Hopefully you guys enjoy those. And I realize I don't have to go all the way with spoilers to like A Memory of Light, which I haven't read in years, by the way. Cannot wait. I'm working my way towards it right now. Path of Daggers is where I'm at and looking to march right into the last battle, my friend, because I'm over here. I have the summers off. Matt knows this. I get to kind of pick a book. I've been reading Star Wars Brotherhood, by the way. I've been reading that book and I've been reading ahead in our Wheel of Time series. And then I've got more House of the Dragon to read. It's crazy.
Let's go. Awesome.
It's good stuff.
I'm down.
Yeah. How you been, buddy?
Dude, I'm good. You know, it feels good. We're kind of bulk recording these now that we're sort of just being like, hey, we want to just give the chapters because those are sort of timeless, right? And then we can do show news separately. Plus, some people just want the chapters. Some people don't want the show news. And right now, there is no show news. So,
right.
That's a good thing. And nothing yet. Might be getting something at Comic-Con. So if that happens, we'll come back to it. But so doing good, man. Yeah. I'm just ready to dive in today.
Let's do it.
So let's go ahead and dive into it. We're doing chapters 10, 11, and 12. So chapter 10, A Saying in the Borderlands. Rand is walking through one of the halls in the royal palace, accompanied by Baal, Bashir, and an assortment of maidens and Saldaean soldiers. Though all of the administrative duties that must be taken care of in Andor are running through his mind as he, Bashir, and Baal talk. They speak of, among other things, the people that are arriving in Camelon, the way that Rand twists chance and more gaze. Baal also mentions that two Aes Sedai are staying in the new city. Rand decides that that this must be something important and says that he will go visit them. When Rand arrives at the inn, he finds a huge surprise waiting for him. There's a group of girls, perhaps a dozen, from the Two Rivers. You have Baodin Cawthon, Hilda Baron, Jaren Alena Carr, Marisa Ahan, Emery Lewin, Elise Marwyn, Dara Candwin, Lorraine Alellen, Jancy Torfin, Sua Saline, and Marcy Eldon. Baodin asks about Matt and mentions that they have come with Varen and Alana because all of them can learn to channel. All of the girls from Emmons Field area crowd around him, begin talking, telling him of all that's happened since he left. Eventually, Varen and Alana appear, the two Aes Sedai, and Rand leave to speak alone in the inn and in the innkeeper in his private dining room. The first thing that happens is Rand asks if they will be taking the two Rivers girls to the rebels or to Elida. Rand wants to know more about the rebels, but Alana and Varen will not tell him. After a little more talking, Alana steps towards Rand. He steps back from her, but she tells him not to worry. Like you, Rand, I mean no harm. Nothing I do here will cause you any injury. He decides to trust her since she had said it straight out. Varen and Alana link, and Alana bonds him as her warder without asking.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
He demands to know what they did and seizes Sidon. Varen and Alana try to shield him, but he ends up shielding them instead. They tell him what Alana did, and he tells him that they are to stay away from him and that the inner city of Caemlyn is barred to them. Then he storms out of the room. Out in the common room, Baodin and Laureen confront him, saying that Bashir has been telling them crazy things, such as Rand is the dragon reborn. Rand informs them that it is the truth, and when they don't believe him, he lifts the two girls into the air using the power. I am the dragon reborn. Denying it won't change it. I am not the man you knew back in Emmons Field. Do you understand now? Do you? All the girls are terrified, and he sets them back down, trying to apologize. He leaves, thinking himself that it is best if they are afraid of him. That way he puts the past behind him. And I will say that was actually one of the kind of, I took just a little, some notes here. And just one of the interesting things when he's hearing about the people from the Two Rivers, and he starts thinking about it, and he thinks about, it's a farmer, just thinking back to it, like being a farmer. And he's like, I could tell that dress anywhere. You know what I mean? And just all these things. So it is kind of interesting to get him sort of thinking back about the Two Rivers and what his life was like and all of these things. And now it's totally, totally different.
Yeah, that is not like every once in a while there's that sprinkle in of reminding us that he was this sheep herder and that he lived in a small town and out in the Two Rivers and everything. That's good. Right. Because he is the Lord Dragon, and Bodwin and all of the other girls from the Two Rivers, they realize real quick who they're dealing with. Varen is trying to sort of, catch her breath. And, it's a lot. It's a lot for them to kind of, I think it's maybe the next chapter, which we'll get to, where, she kind of freaks out. But, I mean, to start, and because we're going to get to the real juicy bit here, but at first, we're going around the city. I think there's a rumor going around that he's a false dragon. Some people are kind of involved in that. I'm trying to remember if they killed somebody and Rand wants those people hung. Like he says, it's not a crime to believe that I am a false dragon, right? It's kind of like you and I were talking about criticism. You're allowed to criticize the Lord Dragon, okay? That doesn't mean people can go out there and kill you just because you criticized and you spoke out against the what you thought was a false dragon, whatever. So he's dealing with that. He's talking to Bale and making his, and they're giving him reports on the city. And it's interesting, these two Aes Sedai show up. And what's even more fascinating about this group, it will be really important about their proximity, that they're in Caemlyn versus them going to see him in Kyrian. Okay. So we know that the rebel Aes Sedai from Salidar, they're sending their group. They're essentially talking about sending a group to see Rand. And so is the tower. We're talking about that. But these Aes Sedai have not yet been involved in that. They were outside of the tower when all those things happened. So they just have these girls who can channel, and they're very powerful, and they show up at the end. They're trying to get close to Rand. So Alana even talks about, the question was by Rand, where are you going to take these girls? And which faction? Are you going to take them to the White Tower, or are you going to take them to Salidar? Because you have girls who are being recruited. Where do you take them? And so they're kind of stuck in limbo right now while the tower is divided. And that was an interesting, cool kind of question from Rand to them. But yeah, Alana does something that is definitely not allowed, very frowned upon by other Aes Sedai. And I'm trying to find the exact page where that happens. I was hoping I could read it to you guys, because I Varen shocked.
It's towards the right? it's towards the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Let me,
because
I had it in Audible.
I mean, yeah.
There's about roughly, I don't know, 6 minutes left. So it's towards in Audible. I don't know how that helps you, but it should help you in the towards the end of the book. Yeah, I mean, nonetheless, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's by far the biggest thing that happens in the all three, and the next chapter is basically the sort of fallout of that, Varen thinking about it and Rand thinking about it, and we'll still get to it. But yeah, I mean, without warning.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Just out of nowhere. I mean, she's a little bit like they're vexed, they want to speak with him alone. And you know,
I mean, how stupid is that?
Yeah, that was really not not smart.
I mean, it's like the first time she's, I mean, it's not, but it's like, you know, it feels like the first time they're meet. I mean, what if he's not the Dragon Reborn? What if he's gone full dark friend? What if, I mean, you just walk in, you're like, hey, what's up? Boom, rewarded.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. They have him in a room. They're asking him questions. And like, you know, she says, is Matt with you? Alana asks as if that were the last thing on her mind, really. If I knew where he was, why should I tell you? Turn and turn about. They did not seem to think that was funny. It is foolish to treat us as enemies, Alana murmured, moving towards him. You look tired. Are you getting enough rest? He stepped back from her raised hand and she stopped. Like you, Rand, I mean no harm. Nothing I do here will cause you injury. Since she had said it straight out, it must be so. So that's what she said, right? Nothing I do here will cause you injury. They can't lie. He's going off this whole idea that they can't lie. He nodded and she raised her hand to his head. His skin tingled faintly as she embraced Saidar, and a familiar warm ripple passed through him, the feeling of her checking his health. Alana nodded in satisfaction, and suddenly the warmth was heat. One great flash of it, as if he stood for a heartbeat in the middle of a roaring furnace. Even after it passed, he felt awed, aware of himself as he had never been before, and aware of Alana. He swayed, headlight, muscles watery. An echo of confusion and unease rang from Luce Theron. What did you do? He demanded, right? Then he seizes the power, the strength of a help. I mean, he's just like raging, right? Something beat at the flow between him and the true source. They were trying to shield him. Weaving his own shields, he slammed them into place. He truly had gone far and learned much since Varen last saw him. Varen staggered, putting her hand on the table for support, and Alana grunted as if she had been punched. They tried to shield the dragon. They bonded him, and dude, it's unbelievable, right? It's bold. He's like, "What did you do? Tell me. I made no promises not to hurt you. If you don't tell me, she bonded you." Varen said quickly, but if her serenity had been ruffled, it cloaked her again in an instant. She bonded you as one of her warders. That is all. That's all, Matt. That's all it is. You know. I said I would not injure you, and I have done exactly the opposite of injure you, right? So again, I think it's a good time to go over the warder bond. Like Moraine has one. We see this with Lan. They can kind of sense one another, right? It's an intimate bond that you need permission to make, right? I mean, you need to really, you could, and then Moraine kind of hints that she could almost compel Lan to do certain things, but he doesn't, you know, he's on the same page as her or whatever. They can sense one another from far distances. They can pass energy
to one another. Is it just doing it just to be able to track him?
I would say at this point, that's a really good, really good guess.
We just want to know where he is at all times.
Yeah. I mean, I think like Alana says, and is the Varen, this is all Rand's point of view right here, right? Yeah.
So
we get a point, we get Alana's explanation at some point. So,
and we have yet to see of a male channeler bonded with a female.
Mm.
So
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two channelers, right?
Right, actually, because if it's like Moraine and Lan, well, like, I don't know, that could Lan kill Moraine? Mm-hmm. Is he like not able to? Like, he just can't. You know what I mean? Like, in this situation, right, I think Rand is more powerful than Alana. Well, he is. So can she even control him?
Yeah, I think too. So think about, yeah, when a Aes Sedai dies, the warder goes insane, right? So they kind of it's such a painful experience that it's almost like killing, like if you were to strike against your own Aes Sedai or whatever. I mean, I don't think you can, but if you did, maybe you could. But yeah, you would be in terrible, it would almost be suicide, right? It would almost be like a terrible thing. So yeah, Alana's kind of like not safe, but
taking one for the team. Because what if you die and then the dragon goes ballistic and blows up everything?
Matt, you're asking whose idea was this?
This is the single dumbest decision in real time so far.
And it comes out of like nowhere, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. It's this abrupt thing. She doesn't lie. It definitely sows this mistrust. Like, I wouldn't trust anybody to be near me now.
No.
Like, no way, right?
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do when Rand's off banging all of his the Lane and Avian? I mean,
gonna get awkward. Gonna get real awkward.
Hold on a second. Now hold on a second. So let me think about this. So Rand is now bonded with Alana,
mm-hmm.
and then she has warders of her own, doesn't she?
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think. Yes. Yep.
So now are they all connected?
I think they all feel a lot of things. They get those emotions and they float to the surface and they can sense one another. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wild. Wild. So there's definitely a connection, and she'll feel Rand's.
Can you be bonded to more than one Aes Sedai at once, or no? Or is that spoiler territory?
I think you can. I don't think that matters if it's spoiler territory. I think you can.
Right. Though. Just trying to understand it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? To think that she did this. You know, I'm looking ahead just to make sure.
Because I just, like, to me, I mean, I didn't assume Rand was ever going to get bonded, but two, I felt like if he ever was, I felt like it would be Elaine that he would be bonded with.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Cause they kind of talk about it and they hint at it. I think Egwene even talks about Gawain, or that it's been, you know, just the bond. Who would you like to bond? Bonding a warder would be cool. And there's an intimacy with the younger girls. They think in terms of like, okay, yeah, he's my protector, but at the same time, lover, you know, they intermix the ideas in their minds when they reflect on it. So let's actually continue, okay, just to finish up this chapter. Cause the next chapter picks right up with the same topic.
Right. Like, right.
So he does rage out at the end of chapter 10.
He's raging in chapter 11 too.
Right, exactly. Yes, yes. So, but just to finish, like, he lifts two girls up in the air. Bode is sobbing, right? She's quivering. All the girls in the tours are freaking out because he's using the power. He's a man who's channeling, who has actually shielded these Aes Sedai and could do anything to them, and is super mad. So he's the two girls down back to the floor. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. As soon as they could move, Bode and Lauren fled, joined the other girls. Bode. Lorraine, I'm sorry. I won't hurt you, I promise. They did not look at him. None of them did. And Sulin certainly was looking at him, and the rest of the maidens too. Blank-faced, flat-eyed, disapproving stares. What's done is done, Bashir said. Who knows? Perhaps it's for the best. Rand nodded slowly. It probably was. Best that they wanted to stay clear of him. Best for them. He just wished he could have talked a little while longer about home, a little longer... Yeah, with them seeing him only as Randall Thor. Yeah, his knees still wobbled from the bonding, but once he began to move, he did not stop until he was back in the saddle. So anyways, crazy. Now, to pick up in chapter 11, I'll let you go ahead and read first just the whole, like, our summary for chapter 11, and then we'll talk about what happens.
Yeah, so chapter 11 is two points of view. It starts with Varen, and then... switches to Rand. So Varen is wondering what has happened to Suwan and Moraine while trying to calm down the girls from the two rivers. After the girls are in their rooms, Varen and Alana are pondering the rumors of the tower. Varen also brings up the subject of bonding Rand against his will. Alana is still very raw over losing one of her warders, Owen. She thinks that they should have bonded all the boys while they had the opportunity. However, it is revealed that Fael had threatened Alana against bonding Perrin. So Perrin is not bonded, and now Alana has bonded Rand against his will. While Varen and has Alana off guard speaking about Rand, she brings up the amnesty that Rand has issued in regards to men who can channel. Varen and Alana put their heads together and try to figure out where Rand is keeping the men who have answered his amnesty. As much as they don't want to believe it, they can't take any chances. Varen's perspective ends with her going back to the original train of thought in the chapter. What happened to Moraine? What should they do to Rand? Yada, yada, yada. Switch over to Rand. Rand is riding away, right, on a horse. And this, I kind of did find this part interesting, just, you know, because it's the summary doesn't do it justice, right? Because it's all these things are happening sort of all at once while he's riding, right. You know, and he's brooding. Right. You know, he distances the running from the Aiel and Bashir, who barely managed to keep up. When he gets to the palace, he quickly travels to the farm where Taim is training the men to channel. He can see men exploding rocks. Whoa, and erecting shields around themselves with Sidene. As he approaches, Taim leaves the working group and walks over to Rand. Rand asks where Haslan has gone, and Taim says he dismissed him. He doesn't see any need to train the men in swords since they're using Sidene. He does agree to bring Haslan back, though, if that's what Rand wishes. Rand informs Taim about the Aes Sedai, and Caemlyn informs him that all the trips to the city are off. Rand doesn't want any of the men to panic and try to kill Aes Sedai and end up getting gentled or killed instead. Taim reassures Rand that the men could easily explode the Aes Sedai's heads like little rocks, but Rand insists, you know, all the trips are canceled. Taim then goes back to his old attempts at getting Rand to let him recruit from the other villages. Taim proposes using gateways to recruit men to follow the dragon, Dragon Reborn. He can bring them back through gateways, then proceed with testing them. Any men who can't channel will be sent on to Rand and Caemlyn to be trained as a soldier. Thinking about it, Rand agrees to provide better horses so Taim can start recruiting. Taim promises to have enough men able to match the White Tower in less than a year, and every man a weapon. So yeah, I mean, this is just, it's sort of just a quick follow-up, and a lot of this chapter honestly actually is sort of internal thought of Varen's point of view and then Rand's point of view. And Rand is like, hey, should have listened to Moraine. Do not trust any Aes Sedai.
Don't trust him. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, she says that to not
and trust I've been saying it from the beginning because I listened to Tom Marilyn.
I know.
Trust an Aes Sedai.
Tom was on this a long time ago. And, you know, in Rudion, Moraine went through and she saw things. She learned things. So she was very, every word she chose and what she said to Rand mattered. I think she probably foresaw some of these issues, some of these problems. And the thing is, what it comes down to is control. And I'm going to talk about this in our spoiler edition. I'm actually going to do something on Alana and the bond, because I kind of forgot that it happens in this batch of chapters until Matt called me today.
I will say this, everybody, and maybe this comes up a little bit later. I don't think it's necessarily spoilery for me.
Yeah.
But everyone's using the R word here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're saying it's rape.
Yep. They are. Yeah. Essentially, that's sort of what it's likened unto. It's without permission. You did this intimate thing. Like, you're now, you're bonded. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there needs to be consent. And this should have been a consensual thing. And it's not.
I guess how idiotic.
Yeah.
First of all, it's clear there's no direction at the White Tower.
No,
they're all just off doing their own thing. You got Descent growing,
right? I mean,
this fire is in the heaven. There's a shadow rising.
Yeah, there's a shadow.
Probably there's a Lord of Chaos somewhere.
There definitely is. Actually, that's very, very true. There is a Lord of Chaos somewhere. So
they were on the Great Hunt for the Dragon Reborn, who used to be at the Eye of the World. Okay,
I mean, there it is. It's all tied together. All the titles. Okay, so the White Tower right now, something that comes up in this is, like, you know, he asked the question and actually Varen and Alana debate it for a while, right? They whatever. He also said that they're not to leave the city, like, and they were like, can he really keep us here? I wouldn't mess with them right now.
I wouldn't mess with them, period, especially not right now.
Especially right, yeah, because you just did something that's ridiculous. So to bring this up, and I'm going to skip ahead here in the book a little bit, just in, we're in this chapter, but I'll read you guys just a little bit of what's Varen and Alana are kind of saying. They go through literally pages where, like, this is what Robert Jordan does, right? It's like they talk about everything except for what just happened. That's why it took me so long to find it, is because we should be talking about the bonding, but we go for 2-3 pages where Varen and Alana talk about everything. And then finally you get to the point where she's like, let's see. She was a red. Remember, while you were thinking, while you're thinking, answer me this. What were you at bonding him like that? The question should not have caught Alana by surprise, yet it did. She hesitated, then drew out a chair and sat arranging her skirts before she answered. Quote, it was the logical thing to do. With him right there in front of us, it should have been done long ago. You could not or would not. Like most Greens, she was somewhat amused by other Aja's insistence that each sister have only one warder. What Greens thought of the Reds having none was better left unsaid. They all should have been bonded at first chance. There are two important to run loose. They are too important to run loose. Him most of all. So then she's got some coloring in her cheeks. It would be good. Be a good while yet before she had full control of her emotions again. So again, Varen kind of gives her a little bit of an out, and just that she lost her other warder, and that's why she can't really control all of the emotions that she's feeling and all of her actions, and she's acting rashly. So apparently Alana was trying to bond more of the young men in the Two Rivers. So it says that Varen knew what had caused the blushes. Alana had let her tongue run away with her. They had had Perrin under their eyes for a long weeks while testing young women in the Two Rivers, but Alana had quickly gone silent on the subject of bonding him. The reason was as simple as a heated promise from Fael, delivered well out of Perrin's hearing, that if Alana did any such thing, she would not leave the Two Rivers alive. Fael said, don't touch him. I'll kill you. Right?
It's so crazy, though, that he, I guess, like, and that they obviously take that to heart to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. So it's,
I guess the guys that I aren't superheroes. I guess maybe we need to stop, you know.
They can be
killed. It's just so weird because sometimes you feel like the Aes Sedai are boss, like no one can touch him. But then right. I don't know, you have moments like this too where you're like, well, maybe they're not as hardcore as we think.
Right. Yeah, that's why they need their warders, right? That protect, like a stray arrow could catch them off guard. They don't see it. Boom. Done.
Right.
Arrow through the heart, gone. So really Fael's Varen kind of says, like, okay, if she, think about this for a second, had Alana actually bonded Perrin and then Fael killed Alana, Perrin would have went mad. You know what I mean? Right. And she would have killed Perrin essentially. So Varen kind of says, like, it probably wouldn't have worked. But yeah, it's just crazy. Just a few more things here. Let's see. Logical, she said, smiling. You sound like a white. Well, now that you have him, what are you going to do with him? Considering the lessons he has taught us, I am minded of a fireside tale when I was a girl about a woman who put saddle and bridle on a lion. She found it a fine and wonderful ride, but then discovered she could never dismount and never sleep. So really, you've got him here. What's this going to be like? Alana's like, I still can't believe he is so strong. If only we had linked sooner. And I tried. I failed. He is so strong. So they tried to link. And beat him. Crazy, yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, now it looks like maybe she's realizing, hey, this wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, no, for sure. Here's another interesting part to this chapter. In any case, it had been a series of extremely bad moments, from discovering that they could not cut him off from the true source to the contemptuous ease with which he shielded them, snapping their connections to Sayidar like a thread, both of them at once. Remarkable. How many would it take to shield and hold him? The full 13? That was only tradition, but it might be necessary with him. At any rate, that was all speculation for another day. And then there is the matter of his amnesty. So again, that's when they start talking about like he wouldn't do this, right? This is not possible. But they mention that you take a full 13 to possibly shield him, you know?
Yeah.
So that number 13 is important. It crops right. up.
And we've looked at yeah. that before too. It's like yeah. there's the sort of power scale, and that's where yeah. a lot of people sort of view it as like, okay, it's gonna take 13 Aes Sedai. It's kind of outdated and whatever. And Robert Jordan just sort of wrote it down, but there is one, it's on the wiki.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, 13 Aes Sedai to even try to slow down Rand.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy. So that was just, it's just kind of a big moment. And then for her to kind of say like, hey, he was in front of you this whole time, like Moraine should have done this, or someone else should have done this. If he really is the dragon, he needs to be under our control. This is the leash that Tom Marilyn kind of talks about. Like, yeah, we should put a leash on him here. And, you know, it's a crazy thing. People definitely don't like it. It is definitely a one of those things where I'm not so sure. Let me think here. There's a book. It's the next book, I think, where, yeah, I don't think
she,
it's spoiler.
She has to deal with it.
No, I don't think it's spoiler to say this. You used the R word, rape, right?
Right.
It's not the last time something like this. Like, I'm not saying the bonding thing, but
right.
Robert Jordan, you know, it's again, this is his story, and he's talking about.
I guess, how do you... So, okay, here's a question, and I don't mm-hmm. think this has been talked about, because there used to be male Aes Sedai, right? Because it's just like anybody can use the power, and Aes Sedai is a faction that uses the power.
Yes, yes.
Right. So can male channelers bond with anybody they want, just like what female can?
I would say that's not a spoiler. I'd say, yeah, anybody who has the power, they can create that bond. Yeah. Like they can.
Right.
Yeah. Because we saw two channelers bond together, but we've also right. seen female channelers bond warders. And yes, right. I would say that, you know,
because because Lan, for example, right. is just a normal guy. I mean,
yeah,
soldier right. and he's a really good, so that's who their typical warder is going to be just like a soldier, because there aren't that many men that can channel.
Right, exactly. Yep, exactly. So just trying to look here, see if there's any.
So I guess I'm just wondering, like, Rand could bond with, in theory, anybody he wanted. Like let's say yeah. he wanted to bond with Bearlane, for example. You know, just I don't know,
yeah.
any woman. He could just bond. Right. Okay.
Yeah. He could. And so technically that would be like, if he didn't ask permission and there was, because like the Gaideen and the Aes Sedai, like the warders and Aes Sedai, they have sort of a system for it. And there is a, you're agreeing. So like Gawain, the younglings, they're all trying to become warders. And so they know they want to be bonded to an Aes Sedai. They want those extra powers, that extra enhanced ability, the cloak, the whole thing. So yeah, normally there's a process which has gone through, but technically could someone just do it? Yes. Like the Aes Sedai have the training to teach you how, it's a complicated weave, you know, to do. So right. just any wilder like Nynaeve probably doesn't know how to do it, but could she do it? Yeah, totally. Or yeah. or a male like Loghain. I think the question is Loghain pre losing his ability to channel. Yeah, could have done it.
He could still be warded right now, couldn't he? Without his power.
He could. I just meant like he could have created the bond with someone else. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Geez, you wouldn't. I don't know that you want to bond with a male. Think about this. Think how stupid it is, because the power is tainted.
I know. Alana did not think this through. I mean, she tries to say it's logical, and Varen kind of mocks her for being a white, like one of the white, you know, Aja.
Isn't she a green Aja?
She's green, yeah, but she's like the whites are like the logical thinking, like you're trying to pretend like you're being a white, but really you didn't think this through. You were super green, super emotional, super charged right. up after Owen died, and then there she goes. She's made this decision, but she can feel him and she can sense him now. And so, like you said, his point of view, he goes over and it's just super mad. And it's ironic because Taim is just talking about like taking out Aes Sedai. You mean to take him out for you? You mean to kill him? Like, I mean,
well, you can't kill him now because,
right? No, exactly.
Affect him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
let me think about this for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
So she bonds with Randall Thor, the Dragon Reborn, who's constantly being like chased down by like enemy factions, like Lanfear and other Forsaken, and is going to have to fight against the Dark One in the final battle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, am I missing anything?
No, you're not at all.
How it's Blood and Ashes, is this the single dumbest decision we've seen so far in the books?
Yeah, it is. It's a huge blunder. It's a huge, literally for Robert, he throws this in here and he says, I'm going to just screw everything up and like take you down a path that you never thought would. Cause no, when this happens, you're like, what? Like she did not, because all of the buildup,
I missed it. Because yeah. I was listening to it, because I listened at work, and so sometimes I'd go back and I was like, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah.
What just happened? Yeah. Like, especially like chapter 10. I was like, not expecting that.
Right. I know. It's crazy.
Although there is something about these chapter 10s, it's always like around this time when we like set off to the big thing about the book.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, you know, so an interesting one we can bring up now. So female warders, so like Elaine bonding Brigitte, right? That actually saved her life. Remember when she came out of Teleron Riyadh and Mogideon was fighting, the whole thing was happening, and Elaine's like, okay, let me try something. I'm going to create a bond with Brigitte Silverbow. So no previous instance of this has ever been recorded. Both women have experienced I can't go into that, but like, yeah, there's moments of where they can sense one another's embarrassment, their anger, their passion, all that stuff is fed through the bond to one another. But yeah, so that's another situation where we have a female warder. So we have Elaine bonding her. So I'm just looking at, I'm looking at some of the topics here in terms of things you can do with the bond. I'm trying to figure out I mentioned obedience. So like even some warders.
Well, yeah, I was about to say two channelers can bond each other because that just happened.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well,
she didn't figure it out. I guess she didn't figure it out. Now in the show, Moraine says, talking about the possibility of releasing a bond, but I don't think that's ever been brought up in the books.
No.
At least to where we're at. I don't think it's ever been brought up.
Yeah, she talks about passing the bond off to
like Nynaeve in the show. That's in the show. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we're not there quite yet, but yeah. Yeah. So there are benefits. There are consequences to this. There are major, like going forward, I guess I can say without any spoilers, you get an idea that Alana knows how he's feeling. So we now have another perspective that can feed the Aes Sedai. Like this is how he's feeling about this.
You know? Yeah. You know, we've also not seen Lan. I guess I haven't thought about that.
I know. Yeah.
We haven't seen Lan yet in this book.
Right.
And Moraine is dead. Moraine's dead. So. Right.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Where's he at? What's he doing? You know, what's going on? That's a big question. That's the big question mark because he should be out there trying to avenge Moraine or something. You know, like it's right. A crazy.
Because in the books, we haven't seen that yet.
No.
We haven't seen a warder lose an Aes Sedai. We did in season one of the show.
Yeah, we did. We did.
And then that one guy,
whatever his name was, right?
Steppen, right. Yeah. It was like, and then he kills himself.
Right. Was that Alana? No, that was, no, I thought Alana's warders are still there.
No. So. No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause we have the whole ceremony where Lan kind of talks about what that's like and stuff. You know, yeah. Just right. Pound on the chest, baby. Pound.
That seems stupid.
Yeah, let me.
It wasn't. It was just awkward. The scene was just too long. It was softly. Just like okay. It's like
okay, yeah, definitely super weird. Emotional though. Like it was definitely.
It was dumb
for sure. There. So let me read just a little bit from the wiki here. Most Aes Sedai bond one warder. Red Aja's sisters are forbidden from taking one. Although some might entertain the option of. Yeah, they might entertain the option. Green Aja's sisters frequently have two or more. Some brown Aja sisters never bother just because, you know, they're in their studies. White Aja is also known for rarely bonding. A warder from an Aes Sedai. I'm not going to read that. All right. That's about it. Yeah. So there's just, you know, we know the blues do, you know, just looking at some of the different factions that don't or that seldom do. Browns just maybe. Baron has one. Greens definitely do quite a bit. Reds really don't. whites might or might not. So just an interesting kind of tidbit. I'm trying to see if there's anything else here. Yeah, there's the bond match. So like right now, I'll tell you this, like this first big move with the Warder bond is a huge deal. And it's like from this point forward that the bond is a big deal. It in so many different ways, in so many, yeah. not even just this bond, but like, I don't think it's going to be a spoiler to say there are more bonding ahead. Okay. Like there's going to be,
I'm sure,
so, you know, it's just, I mean, you have upcoming Aes Sedai who want to get a new warder, all those things. Right. So, and we know lands on the move, as you just mentioned. So yeah, it's fascinating. It's a interesting thing. You know how sometimes the author will hold something back that you can do with a bond. He'll save that until later. It's one of those things that like, oh, there's more powers to this bond than are initially leaked out to us, right? Because our point of view is just the kids, the Emmons Fielders, learning through Moraine. She's not giving you all of her secrets. It's like we have to wait, read, and find out. And right. Man, this batch of chapters got me fired up actually again.
Oh, this is good. Well, first of all, this book is so much better.
Yeah.
So much better than the last one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. So yeah, Rand goes crazy with Taim. That's something to pay attention to, you know, just all the stuff right now. Luce Theron keeps saying to kill him. So let me skip to that point just real quick. All of the different things that he's dealing with. Okay, I'll say this. This is pretty obvious. Luce Theron has become more and more unhinged, and now he was just bonded. He was bonded by Alana. So you can expect for him to really freak out. And he starts to see some of that way around Taim. He's already been freaking about Taim previous to this, but now he's really sort of like, kill him. Like, he should not live. And
right.
And Rand's going to push that voice down or whatever. But yeah, Light, what sort of hold did I let Alana get on me? He thinks that when he's talking to Taim. If the time comes to kill an Aes Sedai, I'll let you know. Until then, no one is to so much as shout at one unless he's trying to take his head off. In fact, you're all to stay far away from Aes Sedai as you can. I want no incidents. Nothing to come between us. Dude, it's crazy. But the whole while he's talking, he's thinking about what just happened to me. What are the ramifications of this this bonding? So
yeah,
okay.
Okay.
All right. Now 12. Yeah, let's jump into 12.
Okay, so 12 totally shifts gears. So now we're back to Nynaeve. So Nynaeve and Elaine are in Saldar. Elaine is trying to listen in on the meeting going on in the tower. An envoy from the tower, I should have said in the little tower, right, is where they're at. That's there. And then an envoy from the White Tower is there, and the entire building is guarded against eavesdropping. Elaine tells Mogadine that the flows she had shown them were not getting through the ward. Mogadine says that they should get through, but it could take days to spin through the ward. Nynaeve bites her tongue because they have been trying to do so for days. This is the third day since Tarna had arrived, and there was still no word on what message she had brought. Elaine tries to hand the Adam bracelet to Nynaeve so she can teach her novice classes and try to show Aes Sedai how to make Teron Greal again. Nynaeve refuses and tells Elaine to wear it instead of leaving it behind. She still doesn't trust Mogadine, but hates wearing the thing herself. Besides, she has work to do for some sitters and another lesson with Theodrin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nynaeve feels that everyone is just wasting time around Saldar and not really doing anything. Mogadine picks up on Nynaeve's thoughts and starts suggesting that her and Elaine could run off to Camelin to be with Rand. Nynaeve wonders why she looks so calm. She realizes the bracelet isn't in the room. She has never been alone with Mogadine without the bracelet. She gets nervous and reminds her that she would suffer death if they let and anyone found out who she was. Mogadine says that the Adam will hold her just as well in Camelin, and that'd be a better hurry up before Saldar decides to reunite the tower and turn them over to Elida. Nynaeve tells her to clean up and leaves before she loses her stomach. Upon leaving, she searches out Birgit. She asks her to get horses so they can leave, but not to tell anyone like Tom or Uno. Birgit thinks this is a bad idea and says that if Elaine agrees and gives the order, she will get the horses. Nynaeve then tries to get Birgit to listen at the door to find out what is happening. She soundly refuses, and Nynaeve fights not to lose her temper. Nicola shows up and reminds Nynaeve that she is due at the Sitter's house to do her copy work for them. At Delana and Jaina's house, she notices there are no supplies to do copying. Soon after, they start asking her to tell them everything about Rand. Once again, she tries to give them new answers, but can't think of anything new to tell them. They finally let her go, and she hurries to her lessons with Théodred. On her way there, she passes the hall and decides to try to eavesdrop at the window, since Brigetta won't do it. She overhears the hall saying that they need more time to consider, that this is the answer to the tower's envoy. Tarna leaves, and everyone keeps talking. Nynaeve hears them mention something about waiting on the biddable child, and that they had to be careful. There is conjecture as to what will happen, and if everyone's head will end up on spikes, and who will put them there. The ward disappears, and Nynaeve stumbles to get away as quickly as possible. She is brushing off her dress and looks up to find Théodred standing over her. Théodred says nothing, and they proceed to walk away. She asks Nynaeve if she has managed to keep calm, another part of her instruction from a previous lesson. Nynaeve says yes, and Théodred replies that she intends to try something a little more direct today to break her block. Neither of them notice that a woman was watching them from the second story window.
Yeah, I mean, this is all, this is kind of a big filler chapter. The most important bits in it are that Nynaeve is still afraid to be in with Mogideon. She's still afraid to be in the room mm-hmm. without the Adam there.
Or Mogideon.
Okay. They're like two different characters, you know.
I said Brigitte every single possible way. So
I was thinking, like, maybe it's Mogideon when she doesn't have the Adam on, and it's Mogideon when she does have it on.
Who knows?
I'm just kidding. But no, so definitely Nynaeve is still kind of worrisome of this, and you know, just being in the same room. It's like when you have the Adam, you can kind of control her and you can do, you know, whatever. But if you don't, she could, you know, attack you, but then she's sort of like, no, it's still gonna hold, like, you know, mm-hmm. regardless of where we're at. And she's been saying, hey, she's actually been trying to get them to go on the move. She's been trying to get away from, because right now, Mogadine is surrounded by all these Aes Sedai, not really where she wants to be, and especially wearing an Adam. Like, if they found that out, they'd kill her, probably. Like the Aes Sedai, like the actual sitters and everything else, Shiryam and who knows, would go nuts. So she wants them to go on the move. Let's go to Camelot and seek out Rand. And this is actually something that Nynaeve kind of considers, not necessarily her suggestion, but she's like, okay, if we have to go to Elida's tower, I think Tarna is here with she's the emissary, kind of like bringing this news. Well, if they have to go, then she loses kind of, once they get to the tower, she's gonna have to go back to her other roles. It like might be suspicious, like how do they kind of keep all of this up or whatever? Is Elida gonna figure it out? There's just a lot more risk kind of involved. It's already super risky that they have her here. They're already super nervous. Like, if they were found out, they would be in major, major trouble. All their little secrets and their learnings. I mean, like, Elaine learns how to make Tiran Greal, and she's sharing that with the other sitters and stuff. But some of their secrets and stuff that they are learning is from Mogadine. So that would be kind of like, so you guys really aren't this advanced. You're just kind of, you know, using some other of a member of the Forsaken of the Shadow to up your game. You know, that's definitely the other members would be kind of like, why didn't you just share this with all of us? Well, I mean, it's a tough decision, because then it's like, well, you're going to take her and then kill her, or we might not get all the, like, they're using her, you know. It's one of those weird situations. But then they are, the only thing that's significant from in this chapter for the White Tower emissary is that they're talking, and they just basically say, hey, we need more time. You know, we need more time. And then I think at the end, a little nugget to kind of move forward here. Let me make sure. Yeah. She says, let's see. Oh, wait, no. That's Tarna. Let me go back here. Don't want to read about Tarna and her spoilers. Let's see. So after Tarna leaves, the Salidar Six mention that they are tired of waiting for the quote, biddable child, end quote. But Nynaeve has no idea who they mean, and so that's an interesting, just like, who is that, who are they waiting for, right? They're talking about that individual. Theodrin, right, finds Nynaeve just as she was stepping away from the window. And then Theodrin is the one helping Nynaeve kind of get past her block. So it's just a weird thing where, like, Loghain's doing his thing with the Red Aja in the previous chapters. We've talked about that. He's sowing his rumors, his discord. You actually see a lot of the women in the camp who are not Aes Sedai, who are just kind of servants and working. They're spreading rumors like crazy, actually. Like, there's so many rumors running around about what's actually happened. And someone said at one point, Elida's dead and Shiryam is being called to go take her place. Like, none of that's true. Like, not, that is just all speculation and rumor. So a little bit of camp talk is happening. And then there is the teaching, right? It's like Suwan and Leanne are being studied by Nynaeve. Well, and then Nynaeve is also being studied by Theodrin, who is sort of like helping her with her block because she's a wilder. And then
they keep talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes on. I'm not going to lie to you. It goes on. Okay. Well, I guess
for a long time.
I guess that's a spoiler. Fine. I can't say, but like,
that's fine. Yeah.
You know how Robert Jordan does, like the circus chapters, my friend. I mean, they're there for so long. And then you're like, thank God we're beyond them. But yeah, he keeps stuff around for a little bit. So builds that suspense, I guess. But yeah, so and that's interesting because a lot of wilders don't survive. You have to have immense power or learn some sort of control over it. So she did do that. And Nynaeve did to some degree understand that. And as we saw in the show and as we hear in the book, listening to the wind is what they call that skill and stuff. So that's pretty neat. Egwene was found just as she was discovering her talent and coming of age. And so she can be trained and guided into her first channeling. It's likely that a lot of women, you know, get killed. Like they, if they're not guided through that first sort of thing and you're a wilder, you can actually, that can be really destructive. So that's a good thing. So we just learned sort of, and that's interesting in world building, like Robert Jordan sort of saying, hey, I know not everybody comes to the tower. So what happens? Well, a lot of them die and some of them make it, but not very many, you know? So it's sort of a bit of that, but Theodrin is trying to help. And Nynaeve at one point asked, it was a funny moment where she asked Brigitte to go spy on the Aes Sedai. And she's like, Brigitte is like, no, there's like no way. I've done that in a prior life. I will never do that again. That's stupid. You're stupid for asking me that. And so that was kind of a cool moment. But elsewise, yeah, this chapter is pretty tame compared to the others. I mean, Uno, you still get some bits with like Uno and Nynaeve being, she still feels responsible. They still kind of feel like they're allied to her. And she's about to run. Nynaeve's about to say like, okay, maybe we're better off on our own. We can do more for Rand. I mean, remember Nynaeve still kind of was so anti Moraine. She's like,
right,
really just using the tower to get her skills and is not yet fully bought into their whole mission and stuff.
And she's, I think still all, I think her end game in her mind is still like, get everybody back to Emmons Field and live life.
Yeah. You it's know? Weird. It's, like, it's a weird thing. It's like, she's sort of accepted that, okay, they're all growing and going different paths, but I still need to take care of them. Sort of. I still need to be around.
Correct.
And it's less about me being a full sister and, you know, even though she wants that too, but it's like, yeah. So yeah, I think that chapter, yeah, like I said, pretty tame. Good chapter though, where we just sort of lay a lot of breadcrumbs for things to come, people who are coming. And then this tension that's building between the two towers. And then now you can see with the chapter 11, major tension with Rand, you know, who's he going to trust now? Which of those two factions would be able to reach out to him and gain his trust in any way, shape or form? Moraine said not to trust him. Alana, who by the way, this is a genius move on Robert Jordan's part. She is neither Rebel Aes Sedai, nor is she White Tower Aes Sedai. She was out of the whole thing. Yeah. Because they
were now she's connected to the Dragon Reborn.
Right. I know. Now does she get more power from that? Is she more better standing? I think you've probably read the backlash on this is like, it's pretty bad what she did. So
yeah, I was looking at a lot of the comments over here on the side about that, just from like Reddit posts or in like old Wheel of Time forums. And that's what a lot of people are saying is they're using the R word, man. They're saying it's rape.
Or right.
Mind, you know, I mean,
yeah, because it's kind of this mind mental sort of spirit bond, and let's just say fellow Aes Sedai are not going to be happy with her. Varen is like, what were you thinking? This is shocking,
right?
So, but at the same time, they kind of hint at it, right? This whole while, they hint like that the dragon should be on a leash of some kind, like he should be under their control. So, it almost seems like that's what they were going to do anyway. And like Alana was sort of saying, like, weren't we going to do this at some point? You know, like, I think that's kind of what she's like, why haven't we done that? Why didn't Moraine do? I thought that was like the plan. You know, it's almost like she kind of reveals like the heart of what maybe they were ultimately going to do. But yet no one wanted to say they were going to do that because that's not, there's other ways. But
right.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right. Interesting. Okay. All right, guys. Well, as I know, you've been dropping some spoiler edition stuff over on Patreon and Apple Premium.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So that's going to be basically, so I have done again, end of Lord of the Chaos. So we're going to talk about Alana's bond and the consequences here and some fun stuff in spoiler edition. I think we might, cause again, once you get rolling, maybe Tarna or some of these other characters who just sort of popped up in this chapter and talk about where they're going and all that good stuff. So, again, I'm 2-3 books ahead, so I can kind of talk about where those are going to go. And we'll just have some fun with that. So be sure to stick around for that and check those out. Check out the prior ones and check out the ones kind of moving forward. So real informal, but just again, fun to kind of unleash a little bit and talk. And again, I always say, if you guys want me to talk about a particular character or a plot point, or you want something from A Memory of Light, let me know. Like, I'm over here all the time. Like, Matt's, there's a certain wiki that he will not pull up because there are way too many spoilers. And I was reading about the water bond.
It gives you like the whole story. So it's like, I can't do it.
Like literally the water bond article I was about to read on the show today. Some of it, I was like riddled with spoilers. Mm-hmm. So couldn't do it. But anyway, yeah. So we'll do more of that. And then, you guys just check those out. They're a lot of fun and they're good. So I guess next time, what are we looking at? We have, because we talked about this before.
Yeah. And so the next time it's just going to be the next three, which is this was to 12. So it's going to be 13, 14, 15, correct?
Yes. Okay.
Because then it starts to change a little bit after that. I was looking at that too. Yeah. Because then we get some blocks of like, you know, like 30 minutes, 12. You know, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm,
yeah,
and those blocks will probably do like maybe 4 to 5 chapters.
Nice. Okay. All right, that sounds good. I think that's it, man. Yeah. By the way, feel free to send us in any pigeons or ravens or what have you, guys. You can still send this. It was great to get that one from people who are going to be reading. Like, it's still funny to me, Matt, that like people are watching the show right now. You know, somebody who's just checking out Amazon Prime, like, oh, Wheel of Time, I want to click on that. Boom, they're going to click in. And they're gonna be diving down this show,
right? And then they just discover this whole new fandom. I know, because right now I just started watching, and it's just because season 3 of it's out right now. The Boys, I hadn't watched it,
I just started
watching. I'm blitzing through it. So that's what happens. Sometimes, especially when a show gets like a second season, a lot of people don't even give it a chance,
right?
And they're like, yeah, I'll wait until there's more because I don't just want to watch it and then be done. So
exactly, yep.
So awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, with that, as always, we want to thank you guys for answering the call. Our next episodes will be chapters 13 through 14. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write us a review, leave us that comment, or send us a message at thehornofvalir@gmail.com. We will see you soon. And remember that the grave is no bar to our call.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.